This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. When we last spoke with Gongwer News Service editor Zach Gorchow in May, we discussed how Donald Trump's campaign for president could affect Republicans down the ballot in Michigan, in particular one Kalamazoo area state house race. But we ended that conversation with the caveat that Trump might do better than expected, especially in certain areas of the state. Zach Gorchow has written another blog post for Gongwer about Donald Trump, this time trying to come up with a scenario where the likely Republican nominee takes Michigan's 16 electoral votes in November. Zach Gorchow, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
So I want to begin by telling our audience that we are speaking Friday afternoon by the time people hear this. It is possible that Donald Trump will have made news in other ways that might have people rethinking what he might be able to do in November. And I want to note, Zach, that in your piece, you say you are skeptical, very skeptical, about whether or not Donald Trump could actually win Michigan. But give us some factors that might lead to a surprise in the fall.
Well, if you're trying to game out how Trump could get the votes to win Michigan, it's a big, big hill to climb. But I sort of came up with four things that could at least get him within striking distance if they were to happen. Not saying they're necessarily all going to happen, just this is one way that I would say it could happen if it was going to happen. So one would be lower turnout in Detroit, largely because of population loss, but maybe also a little bit because you don't have the first major party African-American nominee for president. I went back and looked, and John Kerry pulled, I believe, 305,000 votes out of Detroit in 2004. I don't think anyone would say John Kerry was a particularly strong candidate. He wasn't terrible, but it's not like he was generating a lot of excitement. Well, in 2012, President Obama running for re-election got 281,000 votes and change out of the city of Detroit. That's a population loss factor there. And certainly some of those votes may have shown up in other communities. But nonetheless, that was a substantial decline in the vote out of Detroit, and the population there has only continued to decrease since then. So, you know, is it possible, you know, Trump would need a substantial diminishment there in the vote out of Detroit to cut into this gap he has to overcome? There's also been discussion that he could generate a greater turnout among non-traditional white voters, people who aren't regular voters, but you know, feel sufficiently motivated by his messages to come out and vote. I think there's some pretty conflicting data on whether that's true, especially if you look at national polling right now. That may just be more of a hope than reality among Trump supporters. But at least that's one of the items in play. Macomb County would have to figure big into any Trump strategy. You know, you've heard some anecdotal reports. People saying that they're finding candidates who are out there campaigning, saying they're finding a lot of support for Trump in parts of the county. It's a county that has always appreciated and likes big, brash candidates. You go over there, you'll be amazed. You know, you don't have yard signs over there. You've got like billboards in people's yards. I mean, it's a totally different deal. Just people will put up, you know, these huge signs. People like politicians who throw punches. You know, Trump's working class message has a potential to play well there. Message against offshoring and outsourcing. You know, it's a county that is, while it's getting more diverse, is still largely white and has a history of favoring candidates who play racial politics. So, which I think most people would say Donald Trump has been doing. So, you know, Macomb County there, you know, it typically is a close at the presidential level. You know, George W. Bush did win it in 2004, but by a small margin. Donald Trump would need to win Macomb County by a large margin, like 10 to 15 percentage points. And then there's the possibility for disaffected Bernie Sanders supporters, and these would need to be people who usually would vote for the Democratic candidate. So people who voted for Barack Obama and John Kerry and so forth, who support Bernie Sanders this time, who decide they just can't vote for Hillary Clinton. These can't be new voters or non-traditional voters, because if they just stay home, well, it doesn't really make a difference to Donald Trump. These would have to be people who have traditionally come out and vote for the Democratic presidential candidate and decide no, I'm either not going to vote or I'm going to vote for the Green Party candidate. If you were to put enough of those things together with enough votes adding up, you could see it becoming a state that's legitimately in play. I don't see it happening, but I thought it was important to at least try to figure out what kind of factors would need to happen to give Donald Trump a chance.
And if we look at those factors that you've mentioned, lower voter turnout in Detroit and Wayne County, Trump doing extremely well in Macomb County, more white voters turning out in certain parts of the state, and maybe some Bernie Sanders voters who normally would vote for the Democratic candidate, perhaps voting for the Green Party candidate or even staying home. Out of those, which would you say is the most likely to happen?
Well, I think that lower turnout in Detroit is pretty well a certainty just by the numbers. I mean, the population there has shrunk. You know, it's hard to imagine that Hillary Clinton can match the excitement level in Detroit because she's not Barack Obama. She's not the first major party African-American candidate for president. Detroit is a overwhelmingly majority African-American city. So I think when you add those things up, I would assume the vote for Hillary Clinton out of Detroit will be less than the 281,000 votes Barack Obama received in 2012. By how much, you know, I can't say for sure, but I think that is pretty likely. The other factors, I think, are pretty speculative.
So out of those, they're maybe not as likely to happen. And are you saying in your blog that you think that Trump needs this entire combination? He needs all of these things to happen if, in fact, he's going to make a serious run at winning Michigan?
I mean, these are the things that I could come up with. And there are other factors. I mean, hey, if Hillary Clinton gets indicted or something, you know, or if she just, you know, some sort of disaster befalls her. I mean, although, you know, there's another factor that could come into play. But at least, you know, this was sort of a brainstorm on my part. And brainstorming them, you know, what I came up with trying to look at the numbers, I think he would need all four of these. I mean, I took as a baseline the best a Republican presidential candidate has done in the streak of Democrats winning the presidential race in Michigan the last six elections, which was 2004, George W. Bush. Lost by about 160,000 some votes, 3% and change. That's the best a Republican has done since 1988 here. And so I sort of said, well, if you're trying to erase a 160,000 vote margin, how would you do it? And these were the four things I could come up with and at least draw a semi-plausible to plausible argument for them happening to add up to that 160,000 votes and change.
Donald Trump's political strategist in Michigan, Scott Hagerstrom, made some news this week by saying that Michigan is winnable for the Trump campaign. Both the Detroit papers picked that up and put it at least prominently on their websites. I guess I'm just kind of wondering, and now we're going to give it some more attention here, should we really be surprised that someone who is working for Donald Trump in Michigan is trying to make the case that this is a state they can win? He really can't get up in front of people and say, we're just here playing out the string and we're going to take donations that's just going to vanish into thin air.
Yeah, no, this would definitely fall under the, you know, the sun rose in the morning and it set at night. I mean, you know, if you are the paid manager of a campaign for anything, and you say anything other than that your candidate has a chance to win, you're not really doing a very good job. You know, you're always going to, you know, put things in the best possible light. So, you know, of course, Scott Hagerstrom, you know, is going to say and should say that his candidate has a chance to win Michigan. You need to keep, you know, your voters motivated. I mean, think back to what the disaster that occurred in 2008. When, for reasons I still don't fully understand, the McCain campaign put out the word that it was pulling up stakes in Michigan. I mean, the bottom fell out for the Republicans here as a result. I mean, there's just a huge morale crusher for Republican voters then. You've got to at least keep up appearances as much as you can.
So as you say, there's these reasons to think that maybe things would break Donald Trump's way. Of course, there's also a winning streak on the Democratic side at this point. And you say you're skeptical. What are the reasons, just beyond simple inertia, that the Democrats have been winning Michigan that make you think that Donald Trump would have a serious uphill climb against Hillary Clinton in this state in November?
So, and this is true, you know, no matter who the Republican nominee is. This is something that in the presidential races, the Republicans have yet to really figure out how to crack the code, which is that the Democratic candidate just piles up this, you know, enormous margin out of the Detroit area. The turnout among Democrats just is so much higher in the presidential cycle than it is in the midterm cycle when the governor's race is up. You know, even John Kerry, who, as I said, you know, wasn't the most exciting candidate, still came out of Wayne County with, I believe, well north of a 300,000 vote margin over George W. Bush. You know, even with Bush narrowly winning Macomb and I believe running respectably in Oakland County, he still, you know, he could not make that up with the rest of the state. I mean, it's just too much. It's, you know, something of a blue wall. You know, I don't know what type of Republican candidate can crack that. I mean, I guess, you know, Donald Trump's certainly different, and his message on bringing it into outsourcing and opposing free trade agreements is a different message than Republican presidential candidates have had in really ever, as far as the nominee. But you still have, you know, in this era of partisan polarization, core Democratic voters who come out to vote in the presidential year and for president in Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties, you know, the math just doesn't add up. I mean, look, you have to look at, you know, how has Rick Snyder won the last two governor's races? He has blown out the Democratic candidate in Oakland and Macomb counties, and he's run respectably in Wayne County. I mean, unlike Mitt Romney, who I think got like 5% in the city of Detroit, Rick Snyder was somewhere around 10%. You know, that's still bad, obviously, to lose a jurisdiction like 90-10, but you're taking away some key votes there just by, you know, getting that 10% instead of 5%. And as I recall, I believe he won the Wayne County suburbs, or at least was very competitive there the last two elections. I don't remember off the top of my head, but he ran well. Bottom line, he ran well in those areas. So he came out of the Tri-County area in much better shape, and then he did great out state. I mean, that's the formula that Republicans need to have. That's the formula they had when they won the state five straight times from 1972 to 1988. They basically would come out of the Tri-County area in Detroit more or less tied and, you know, piling up huge margins in Oakland and Macomb counties, and then they would just blow the Democratic candidate away in the rest of the state. Times have changed, and it's just awfully difficult to see how the math adds up.
You also have the additional factor here of Donald Trump having made a series of statements, as you say, which you know, can fairly be called racial politics. And if that were to drive people to vote who normally might not get excited, in other words, it might encourage him just to go out and vote against Donald Trump, if nothing else. I suppose it's one more thing to make you think that his task in Michigan is very difficult.
You know, I don't know that we have enough polling in Michigan to say, well, here's Donald Trump's definitive overall unfavorability rating. But I don't suspect that we're too much different than what's happening nationally. And right now, you know, his unfavorability ratings are like historically terrible.
That's 70%, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at best, you're talking like 65% unfavorable. And the latest showed it at 71% from one particular poll, I believe. So, you know, it is June, and of course things can change, but, Donald Trump did reverse an overwhelming, you know, he had terrible unfavorable ratings among Republican voters about this time a year ago when he announced and reversed that, which was really an incredible feat. I mean, you don't see that happen very often where a candidate can reverse a very bad image with a set of voters. But that said, that was Republican primary voters, which is a much smaller universe than general election voters. And it appears he's going to have to find a way to do that again. And there is a lot of time left, but this is not something you want to have to try to do. You know, there's the old cliche about never getting a second chance to make a first impression. This is an enormous task he has to try to convince a large segment of voters. And I've seen various polls saying what something like 63% of women saying they will never vote for Donald Trump. You know, he's got to change a lot of minds to just get back into the mix here.
So as I said, the last time we talked to you, it was about what Donald Trump's campaign for president could mean down the ballot. Let's look at that maybe going the other way for a moment here. There's a lot of key Republicans, Congressman Fred Upton from this part of the state, Justin Amash from Grand Rapids, among them, saying that they're not going to endorse Trump. Those are a couple of two very different Republicans. And if there are Republican office holders and people who are prominent in the party who are staying on the sidelines, does it make it even less likely that that combination of events that Donald Trump needs to be competitive, much less win Michigan, is just less likely to happen?
You know, there's not a lot of certainties in politics because there's always exceptions to rules and so forth. But I do feel pretty strongly that divided political parties lose, that you need to be unified. And right now there's a lot of division. And in both parties, I mean, you know, the Bernie Sanders people clearly are struggling with the idea of rallying behind Hillary Clinton. But at least among the elected, you know, Democratic establishment, you are seeing the Democratic establishment clearly fall in line with Hillary Clinton. The Republican establishment, there is just an extraordinary amount of angst and hand-wringing and upset and unwillingness to coalesce behind Donald Trump. You know, you saw it from Fred Upton. You're seeing it from members of Congress. You're seeing it from
Governor Snyder.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty extraordinary to have a situation now where you have the presumptive nominee of the party and people just saying that, you know, they just can't get behind him because of the things he's saying and doing. If that doesn't change, it's going to be really ugly. Typically, you want your candidate to win about 90% of their party's vote. And that's what we've seen, that President Obama, George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, et cetera, et cetera. They'll typically win about 90 to 95% of their party's vote. When you start to fall below 90, 85 doesn't sound bad, but that's a lot of lost votes. Those are votes that you were assured of getting. And suddenly they're gone, and, you know, they bled out your back pocket. Even if Trump gets 80-85%, that's going to take a big toll, presuming Hillary Clinton gets 90-95%. You know, as long, you know, she's down there too, well, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a wash. But Trump seems to have a lot more problems right now in terms of coalescing the establishment of the party behind him.
Zach Gorchow, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Zach Gorchow is the editor of the Gongwer News Service. A link to his blog post called Trying to Game Out How Trump Could Win Michigan can be found at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.